Hi everybody, my name is Mark Lockhead. I'm a lived experience lecturer and I work at the University of South Australia. And I'm preparing this recording as a way of providing some background information and talking through some of the ideas involved in a project we're doing. And that project is a partnership with the National Mental Health Commission, where we are exploring the ideas of person-centred mental health care and also the idea of consumer-directed mental health care. So I'm going to talk a bit about those ideas and how they're understood and where they come from and how they relate to the project that we're doing. So first I'll start with person-centred care. So person-centred care has come from the North American context, but is increasingly used in Australia to shape really how our healthcare should be experienced and delivered. So if you think of traditionally, healthcare is organised by clinicians and administrators professional expertise. And often, you know, when you experience a health service, no one was really thinking about what it's like from the consumer or family perspective to go through that service. It was all really services were designed as clinics that you go through, and there wasn't an understanding of what it's like from the consumer perspective of that. So, of course, that's really an important way we should be understanding the design of health services from what it's like to use them. So, you know, the principles of person-centered care, the first one is that, you know, you're involved in decisions and you shape decisions, and you're what you prefer, what's important to you, and what your values and wishes are acted on that way. So we're able to express those things and they're listened to and acted on. The second sort of area is that consumers have access to clear information and communication. So, you know, we can make decisions about our lives and have that communication. So, you know, that's everything from knowing who our clinicians are to what's been written about us in case notes and what the directions of care, being involved in planning, all those areas. So that's information. There's a principle of person-centered care, which is also about family or carer involvement and our appropriate involvement of people, so that family carer views are heard as well, or the needs of people as carers are responded to by the health service. So that's three sort of principles I've mentioned so far. Another one is the idea of continuity of care. So when, say, as you're moving between services, like say if you go to an emergency department, and then you might go to an inpatient service, or you might be discharged to another service, that there's continuity and in understanding across those gaps, so that you're not left facing gaps in, say, medication, not left understanding not where to go for help or who your next appointment is with. So there's continuity of care. Often person-centered care is about the sort of quality of the interactions that we have with people, so that there's emotional support and there's empathy and trust. There's respect for experience. So, you know, we'd expect that from a person-centered healthcare to be treated really well and to not have barriers in front of us through that. One of the key things in the person-centered space is actually the shape of physical environments. So what are health services like? What are they shaped like? Are they easy to navigate? Do they have good signs? Are they comfortable? You know, are the chairs in good quality? Are there things there that don't need to be there from a consumer perspective? Like, there might be things where there's really heavily glassed reception areas that sort of present signs of danger or are off-putting to people. There might be other ways that the service is very clinical and cold and not an inviting space or not a comfortable space to be in. So, you know, attention to the design of the facility or the service is really important. You know, there's some of the principles of person-centered care generally, and what this project is about is having discussions about, you know, how those principles work from the point of view of what clinicians say and do and their practices, and also how they're experienced by people with lived experience, and how what is preferred in that area. The next sort of area of conversation is another philosophy around care, which is called consumer-directed care. So with consumer-directed care, that's the idea that consumers have choice and control in the way that services come into their lives and support them. So, and that's, so they, those choice and control principles are what are guiding the idea of NDIS, if you're on an NDIS plan. So that will give you some funds to make some choices and a plan about where you want to go in your supports and your recovery, and what services to that you purchase and buy in to help you. So you may be seeing clinicians as a part of your treatment, and you might have a regular appointment with a doctor, and you're living with medicines, but you might have other areas in your life with disability support. So that might be budget and financing. You might choose to get someone to help you with that. You might choose to have a peer service that's group work learning, or a person that helps you stay connected to community, or different things that you want to learn and do in the community. So, part of your plan is having a peer provider who that's arranged. And the idea is that you have decision-making power on that, because say if a service isn't working for you, you can end that and you can start a service with another person to provide that support for you, or that function for you. So relatively new in Australia, because the NDIS is only in the mental health space is about 5 or 6 years old. So, and it's not, without problems, because sometimes it's about service availability. There's still issues of service, the quality of services you buy in as well. But so that's another way of, another sort of approach to care, if you like. It's this idea of consumer-directed care that we'd like to explore in this project. Many people living with psychosocial disability may have an NDIS plan, but also still use public mental health services as well. So in a sense, there's these different philosophies of care influencing the person and having an impact, because if they go to a public mental health service, it's supposed to, it's on the philosophy of person-centred. If they go to within NDIS, it's meant to be around consumer-directed care. So I hope this is helpful, just to explain the different principles at play. So, and of course, it's also really important to highlight that the public mental health services are guided by mental health legislation. Traditionally, that is clinically directed care. So there's often limits on people's autonomy that occur when orders do come into play. Your autonomy is limited, and decisions about your treatment can be made by the clinical team without your consent, of course. And that's an experience of a lot of people, and many consumers would be critical of the coercion that can occur in public mental health services, and the trauma that people can experience as a result of that, and the wider experience of public mental health. So, these are really important parts of talking about this area. It's not really just talking about person-centered care in isolation from, the traditions and what happens in public mental health services. That's an important sort of area of discussion, is how do we maximise that services are person-centred or they're consumer-directed rather than being directed by others, and how do we sort of maintain autonomy and control in that, and what are the dilemmas involved? How do we use supported decision-making, for instance, to set up support for when our mental health isn't going so well and it's very difficult? How do we have supports around that process to get us through? So I've probably spoken for about 10 minutes. I just wanted to outline those different principles. So in terms of person-centered care, the principles are about involvement in decision-making, respect for preferences and wishes, the need for clear communication and information so that our journey is informed, appropriate involvement and support of our family carers, the way that services are, we experience continuity across services and systems, the need for clinicians who have great skills in offering emotional support and who are empathic and respectful, the physical environment and help that actually works. And for the other side, in terms of consumer-directed care, that's much more based and centred on a consumer's autonomy and choices guiding what happens. And so there's a way of organising the service that gives you control to select and choose who's the service providers are and what they do in respect to your plan or your recovery plan. So hope that's been helpful. I'm looking forward to having more of a conversation as we start to have some focus groups and group discussions. Okay, so thanks very much for listening.